The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours.
When you partner with Axon, you immediately gain access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. We carry all major brands and sizes of tires and wheels. We specialize in large diameter wheels for large equipment. We have one of the largest OEM replacement wheel inventories in North America. Known for extreme flotation setups, duals, and triples, we have wheels for all makes and models of tractors, sprayers, combines, and grain carts. If we don't have the wheel in stock, we'll custom build, sandblast, and paint in-house. There isn't a more vast inventory in North America dedicated to helping dealers move more iron. With facilities on the West Coast and in the heart of the Midwest, leverage our 230,000 square feet of indoor inventory to solve any problem a grower may have. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. You'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Markets with Chip Nellinger. Chip is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. It's nice to come on and talk about what's happening in the world of commodities. Chip, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing well. Casey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Got a little bit of an issue with the cattle market right now. We got the avian flu situation that's coming in, and so far this week they've reacted pretty heavily to that. So far, Chip, what's your thoughts on where we see the cattle market headed right now?
Yeah, I think everyone's trying to assess, exactly what this means. The initial knee-jerk reaction, obviously, was not the magnitude of the move, but it was very similar to like a mad cow type situation. And there's a lot of post-traumatic stress syndrome out there of participants in the cattle market that remember mad cow very, very clearly, and the damage that did and how deep we dropped. So I'm not trying to equate this to that, but it seemed like the initial reaction was a little bit like, just get me out, right? I don't know if we're going lower or higher, but get me out. And that liquidation, because the funds had big long positions built up, it came right at the end of a quarter and the beginning of a new quarter. And so that liquidation with the funds getting out really had a pretty healthy drop off the highs in here. I think we're about $13 and change off of the highs in probably a week or less in the June contract, maybe right at $11 in the front month. And so there's still it's a very fluid situation that still has a lot of questions out there. You know, I guess you could argue as much for a bullish scenario as you can bearish. But right now, there's just a massive amount of uncertainty. And when there's uncertainty, it usually means that markets go lower in the short run here. And that's exactly what we've seen so far.
Yep. I guess so. As you take a look at the situation, you and I were kind of talking about this beforehand. As you take a look at the situation now, you know, no one really knows what's going to happen with the cows that have been affected yet. There's not a big choline situation or anything like that that they see happening out there. But I guess as you take a look at that from, you know, the amount of dairy cows that get put into the beef pipeline there, I guess, what are your thoughts there and how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the bullish scenario of this is, you know, initially they found it in the dairy herd, you know, where that had transferred from, you know, some sort of a bird to the dairy herd, was hurting milk production. And so if it's a case where we're going to have a big problem there on the dairy herd, that's been a big influence on beef supplies. You know, the last few years, we've really seen a marked increase in, you know, some of these Angus, you know, crosses with dairy cattle. And it's going into the beef supply, particularly hamburger. And that's really helped cushion some of the tight supplies that we have on our feed numbers of cattle. And so, you know, if it's a situation where we're going to limit the amount of dairy cattle that get put into the beef supply, then that could be, you know, something that could be eventually a friendly situation. I just think that we're so early on in this that, you know, no one knows for sure. At the end of the day, the thing I didn't say earlier, you know, right at the end of last week, we had a cattle on feed report. I should say the week prior, we had a cattle on feed report that was pretty bearish, you know, at least compared to expectations. And then you had that with the end of the month, end of the quarter, and all this news about this avian flu in the, you know, in the dairy herd. And, you know, we likely would have broken prices off the highs regardless, because the funds had a pretty healthy long position built up. And then we kind of got the rug pulled out from under us with that bearish cattle on feed report. So I think if you just take this avian flu news out of the equation, maybe we wouldn't broke, you know, the June live cattle $13, but you could have easily broken them $5 or $6 just on the cattle on feed and the new quarter, maybe producing a little bit of fun profit taking. And so, you know, so far, you know, I think that the cattle market has kind of taken this news in stride. Sure, it's off the highs, but, you know, I think they're taking a somewhat measured approach and saying, all right, what's the reality that's going to be? Is it going to spread? Is it going to get worse? You know, what's the effect of this? And, you know, again, I think there's as many bullish scenarios out there stirring around as there are bearish right now. But what it does mean probably is a lot more volatility than we've seen. And that's something that we're going to have to get used to. Today's a perfect example of that. You know, we saw some big $2-3 swings back and forth in live cattle. I was trying to digest this news, figure out where cash market's going to trade. The box beef market has come down a little bit. We're coming right into a time frame where things should get a little bit better on demand as the weather warms up later this spring. And so you're going to increase the volatility, unfortunately, from what we've seen here in the past. And that's been some pretty healthy volatility already. It's just going to get worse and worse as this news story plays itself out.
Yep. All right. So let's jump over and talk about wheat for just a little bit here. When you're looking at the wheat market and things are plugging along there, we've had some really warm weather. So wheat's coming out of dormancy. We're starting to see things move. I guess looking at the wheat situation we see right now and then where how wheat's kind of fallen into the world supply, what are your thoughts there and how do you see the wheat market moving in here as we start heading into that key May timeframe in the wheat belt?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You're coming into April, May. Typically, you know, if you study seasonals and go back 15, 20, 25 years, you typically see a little bit of an upswing into, you know, the May timeframe. And that's because of the uncertainty that you said. Are we going to get some moisture in the plains? They're still very, very dry from, you know, basically where you're at all the way down south into Kansas. Oklahoma, the Panhandle of Texas, they're going to need more rain on that crop to get it across the finish line. How much winter kill was there, if any? You're still probably assessing that. We're still at risk for some sub-freezing temperatures out there to really do some damage, especially the later you get into April and the first week or 10 days of May. If there happened to be a freeze in the plains, particularly Kansas, this wheat market could go haywire because it would do a lot of damage at that point. And so I think that uncertainty in the fact that we're into a new quarter, it shows a little bit of signs of life today. We saw the wheat market lead us higher across the entire grain sector. Maybe these funds who continue to have a short position of about 80, 85,000 contracts are ready with this new quarter to say, hey, it's been a good ride for 18 months. We made a lot of money being short. It's time to get out with all this crop production uncertainty in the Central Plains.
Yeah. And I think that is what you just talked about there. That is such a powder keg, right? The funds are so incredibly short on everything, whether you're talking wheat, corn, so whatever it is, that when they start jumping out, you should start seeing some movement in the marketplace in a more positive direction, what we've been seeing. So I guess, how do you feel about that right now, Chip? Do you feel like we're going to start seeing this kind of unwind some short positions?
Well, we started to see a glimpse of that late last week, and we had the the stocks and acreage report. Acreage report was pretty friendly on corn, and then we had this back to the cattle situation, the avian flu situation. I think for a couple days, the uncertainty of, all right, what are we going to do? Are we going to have to cull a bunch of the dairy herd, and the fear that it would hit feed demand on corn, I think maybe held the market back a little bit. Now, it seems like with the wheat market leading us higher today, that maybe we're kind of putting that behind us a little bit. That acreage report's still going to be friendly. And so there's still a lot of things out there uncertain as we go into spring. And, to your point about the funds having a massive short position, sometimes all you need is just the market to stop going lower for an extended period of time, catch the moving averages up and kind of take a pause. And then the funds finally say, all right, we trigger whatever that is. Sometimes it's a moving average. Sometimes it's X number of days highs, that the market's making to trigger them getting in and out of positions. And I think we're getting very close to that. I think the avian flu news maybe hit corn a little bit there earlier this week. Maybe some questions about the feed demand. But we got a lot of uncertainty with crop size and production. And now with a low acreage estimate from the USDA, that gets a little more interesting on corn. It even raises the bar that much higher. And we've got to raise a big crop this growing season. So, again, I do think that we're kind of primed to have these funds continue coming out of some shorts. You've also got some different segments of commodities in general. The metals markets, gold's making new all-time highs. You've got crude oil that's pushed north of $85. The dollar started to break. And so, just some of these other pockets in the general commodity world and hard assets may be enough to cause the funds to kind of come out of some of their short positions in the grain markets as well.
Yep. All right. So that was, this kind of leads to my next question there. Let's talk a little bit about the report that came out last week. As you're looking at the positions that, 4.5-ish million acres of corn aren't going to get planted this year, according to that, you look at where soybeans came in at, they jumped up about 3.5 million acres of soybeans. I guess looking at that, where we're at right now with stocks and those kind of things, if there's even the slightest hiccup in corn production, that really puts corn in a really kind of back again into that really tight situation that we saw over the last couple of years where we were kind of rebounding out of that, I guess. So looking ahead, dust your crystal ball off here, Chip. But, I mean, as you're looking at that situation, How do you feel like that's going to play out? I mean, what are some scenarios you're running with your customers right now talking about that?
Yeah. I think that it adds some potential volatility, which is a good thing, right? Because right. If you just kind of review where that report came out, it's always a little bit of a wild card. The stocks number is always hard to peg. The acreage number is, especially as of March 1st, is a real wild card to guess. And so I think if you, at the end of the day, if you look at that, we had about as good a report as you could expect from the USDA, with the corn acreage number being on the low estimate. The stocks numbers were, no worse than expected. And so that had already been traded in the market. Now, we are sitting about 1 billion bushels more higher corn stocks than a year ago. A couple hundred million, I think just over 200 million bush, a million more bean stocks than a year ago. So there is a little bigger cushion there with the crop size. But to your point, the weather, Mother Nature is still going to be the end result here. We've got to get the crop planted. We've got to see some good growing weather and some general rainfall throughout the growing season. And it just does not take much of a shortfall, especially as the market assumes a 90 million corn acreage number. It just does not take much of a drop under that 181 trend line yield to really start cutting those stocks again. And so that says to me that there's going to be some opportunities. There's always some uncertainty during the growing season, it seems like, even if it's only a week or 10 days worth of hot, dry weather concerns. And so I think as a producer, you can expect to have opportunities. Are we going back to $6 corn? Probably not without some sort of a major problem. But, you know, the high last week or earlier this week was 481 on the December, you know, could easily see $5 or above. And that should give us better opportunities. And the whole seasonal move for higher is still ahead of us. We typically put a little bit of a mid-April high in, assuming the crop goes in the ground in a good manner and without much delay. You have a break into May, and then you have your summer high coming in the June-July timeframe, depending on you know, how pollination and the temperature and rainfall goes. So I think there's going to be opportunities. I think that report was a little bit of a sigh of relief, and you know, maybe the best that could have been expected as it wasn't just wildly bearish, and so it didn't give the bears much new ammunition. Probably means there's opportunities and a lot of volatility, and you know, that's hard to get through. Talked about that in the livestock market, but volatility typically means there's going to be opportunities too. We just have to kind of have a plan and be ready to, you know, fire off some bullets when we get that opportunity at higher prices down the road.
For sure. All right, lastly, let's talk about hogs. So hogs have had about a 2-week run here where they've done some pretty good turnouts here. You know, you've seen pork cutouts where they've seen a consistent rise, and they're seeing it today. I think they're up whatever 14, 15 cents or whatever it is today. But as you're looking at that hog market, there seems to be a little bit of a glimmer of hope from this previous 3 months of just getting the teeth kicked in. You're seeing a little bit of a glimmer here. So I guess, what are your thoughts on the hog market?
Yeah, going back to the avian flu situation, I think the hog market's seen a big benefit of that, right? Kind of back to the, you know, we haven't really seen this playbook before. You know, not that it's exactly like the mad cow situation, but when you start getting the general public hearing these news stories about, oh, the dairy herd's infected with this avian flu, and, you know, what's that going to do to the beef supply, beef situation? Is it safe to eat beef? All that kind of stuff, I think, has given us a boost on the pork. And, you know, again, we saw that during mad cow too. So some of it, I think, is, you know, anticipation that we're going to have better demand going into summer like we always do. And now maybe it's going to get a boost because maybe we see these high-priced beef levels and the uncertainty about the avian flu situation add to the demand side from the consumer on pork. We did get through, you know, last week, probably a slightly bearish hogs and pigs report. We continue to see the farrowings number just, you know, increase. And it's a, you know, I think record high as far as pretty consistently in the last year and a half. We've just seen a really strong farrowings number. And so those, you know, the hogs and pigs report at first blush would have been a little bit bearish, but we've seen a nice move. You got these summer months where knocking on the door of $105 here earlier this week. And so we're anticipating some better, you know, better demand in the summer. And I think the avian flu situation is maybe put a short-term boost in pork demand too. But again, I don't think you can fall asleep at the switch out here from a producer standpoint. When you start talking about, you know, $104, $105, $106 summer month hogs, we better take notice, because meal and corn is still relatively cheaper than it has been for a few years. And there's some renewed profitability back into the hog industry right now.
Right on. Okay. Well, Chip, good stuff as usual. Folks want to reach out to you and get more information about what you're doing at Blue Roof, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, Casey, the best way is just give us a call at the office. It's 309-550-7213. Love to chat with you. Love to talk to you about your marketing plan, your risk management plan, and maybe how to improve and you know, increase the execution on that. Because as we talked about today, this is getting more and more uncertain out there, and that means more and more volatility. And if you don't have a plan, you get run over by it, and it kind of becomes painful.
Right on. Well, Chip, appreciate you being on the podcast. We'll catch you again next week.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Casey.
Right on. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. Go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. Check out the YouTube channel, which is the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel. And you can also find me over on TikTok at Moving Iron Podcast as well. Go to movingironllc.com. New website's up. All the information, Moving Iron Summit will be there for November 4th through the 6th. Get all the information there. Slowly you'll see more information come through that as things roll through that. So if you have any questions about that, you can send me an email at movingironpodcast@movingironpodcast.com, and I'll be sure to get back to you as soon as possible. So with that, I am Casey Seymour with Chip Nellinger. Smooth Iron, folks. Out. The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers, and close more deals? Reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data. It's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. You find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Find us here.